would welcome. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love.
Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence through the power of prayer. We thank you for the fact that no matter what our circumstances may be, you are still God. And you still hold this world in your hands. You hold our lives in your hands. And we just pray today that you would be at work in us. God, I pray for those that are sick, that are battling this illness. I pray for your healing and comfort and encouragement, both for them and for their family. I pray for those that have had someone that's passed away and their hearts are grieving. They weren't able to even get together and have a funeral like we normally would do. I pray that in the midst of that, you would be their hope and comfort and encourager. God, I pray for those that have lost a job and are battling the stress of finances and the future. I pray that you would calm their fears. I pray that you would reassure them in this season. I pray that during this time when we're separated from one another, that you would draw close to us and we would draw close to you and experience your love and power and forgiveness and grace. And God, I pray today for our time together. Even though we're separated geographically, Lord, we're together in spirit and in heart. And I pray that we would worship together and exalt your name and lift high your name, and that you would be so at work in each of us that we would know, even if we're in our home all by ourselves, that we're not alone, that you're with us. So God, I pray today that you would make yourself known, that through the power of worship and the power of your word, the work of your Holy Spirit, you would move in our hearts and make us your own and draw us to yourself and give us strength and encouragement and hope for this day and the days that are still ahead. God, we surrender ourselves to you today. We pray that as we give, that you're honored and glorified. We pray that as we pray, our hearts are right and purified. We pray that as we worship, we exalt your name on high. We pray that as we listen to your word, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in us, refining our souls so that in every way and in all things you would be glorified in us. And we pray that as we respond to your call in our lives, that the name of Jesus will be lifted high. So have your way in us. We give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's good. I needed that. As we get ready for Pastor Tim to walk us through Scripture, I want to re-invite you into worship. Don't let music get in the way of your worship. If anything, the song that we're singing, just read the words out loud. Worship's not about singing, it's about your heart singing and speaking truth back to God. Just listen to your own voice say this. Maybe this is the first time you've said things like this out loud in a few days. Let's reconnect with what God's already doing in us as we sing our praise. Try this.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. You're worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Your voice. Do it.
Jesus, the name above every other name. And Jesus, the only one who could ever say. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Sing holy.
Holy, there is no one like. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Jesus, the name above every name. Sing that.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Talk to him.
Show me who you are and fill me.
Well, good morning. We're gonna dive into God's Word. Listen, this is the sixth Sunday in a row that we've not gathered for worship. We've been online. And to be honest with you, that's just been really awkward. I mean, it's so awkward not to be able to get together in church and to worship. And I've had people texting me and calling me and saying, man, I can't wait for us to get back together again and worship. And I'm with you. Man, I can't wait for that to happen either. It's so difficult just to preach or teach to the one-eyed monster, the camera, and not know what the response is or that it's connecting or making a difference in your life. And so, listen, I hope it is. I pray it is. I pray God continues to be at work in you, and I pray God continues to use this. The hard thing is this. I can't tell you when it's going to be that we're going to be able to gather again for worship. It may be June before we're able to do that, or maybe even later. We'll just have to wait and see. And keep praying. But I want to tell you that in the midst of this, as difficult and awkward as it has been for everyone, you know, to be at home, be secluded to your home, and not be able to come to worship, not be able to do the normal things that you do during the week, not be able to go to work like you've been going to work, all those things are odd and unusual. But in the midst of that, you can, and I hope you have, been taking advantage of the time that God has given you to draw near to Him and to have Him work in your heart and life. Listen, the only one that can provide the solution that we're looking for is God Himself. He is our hope, He is our help, and we can trust in Him. And He loves us, and His love is ever sure, even in the midst of these challenging times. But I said all that just to say this. We're going to try to get back to normal when it comes to our study of the Word of God. You've heard me say this 1,000 times or more, and I encourage you to remember this. When you read this book, you hear His voice. So whatever part you're studying, whatever part you're learning from, God's going to use it to teach you and shape your heart for His purposes in this world. And over the last several weeks, we've kind of jumped around in Philippians and a few other places so that we could address some of the issues that we were dealing with because of COVID-19. Today, I want us to get back to a little bit of normalcy in our walk through the book of Philippians. And so we're going to do that. We're going to jump into chapter 2 and just look at two verses, verse 12 and verse 13. And so if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to go ahead and get that out on a table or wherever you're at so that you can see it. I want you to read this in your Bible. I want you to make some notes. And let's just learn together, grow together, have God teach us what a priceless treasure the salvation that we have is and how it prepares us so that we can live a life that's fully pleasing to God in every way. And so let me just remind you a few things about this book, this letter called Philippians. First, it only has 104 verses. It's written by the Apostle Paul to a group of believers in the city of Philippi, and Paul loves them dearly. In fact, in chapter 1, he talks about the great affection that he has for the believers in Philippi because of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until this very day. Their heart for the gospel and for Jesus Christ has encouraged him, and so he prays for them with great passion, and he longs to be with them again. And so he's writing this letter to a group of Christians in the city of Philippi. That's why it's called Philippians. It's just 104 verses. Now, what you need to understand is Paul wrote this letter while being imprisoned in Rome. And so he's imprisoned. What's interesting is 16 times in 104 verses, he references or talks about resident joy. Just letting us know that circumstances do not dictate joy for the believer. He's in jail. He's a prisoner. And yet, he talks about the joy that we have in this life, just letting us know that even though our circumstances may be dire and threatening, at the end of the day, Jesus is the source of our strength and the source of our joy and happiness in this life. And then the last thing I'd say is this. In 104 verses, Paul mentions the name or title of Jesus 51 times. He's just letting us know that Christianity is not a religion in the sense it's just adherence to a set of doctrines or new rules for life. It is a relationship with the God of creation who's revealed Himself most fully through His Son Jesus, who lived on this earth, died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, rose the third day, and lives forevermore. And it's through a relationship with Him that we have life. And this whole book, this little book, four chapters, is all about the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump back into chapter 2, and we're going to begin looking at two verses as we continue this journey through the rest of Philippians. And in these two verses, there is a direct command to believers that's supported by two statements that I want us to look at this morning. And so if you got your Bibles, look down in chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 13. He says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And so here's the passage. Paul begins with this word, therefore. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but reminds us that it refers to something that previously he had written that supports what he's talking about here. He calls them my beloved. He's letting them know that I love you dearly. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a part of the same family. And then he encourages them, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. In other words, I don't know if I'm going to be able to come to see you again or not, but even if I'm not with you, still obey. And here's the command, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I want to make one point of clarification at this point. And the reason is because it's so easy for us to get caught up in this idea of working for our relationship with God, earning our standing with God and our home in heaven. I think we've adopted that because almost in every circumstance of life, we work for what we get. We have that mentality ingrained in us and taught to us from the time we were in children. But nowhere in this text, in fact, nowhere in this book, does it tell us we earn our salvation or work for our salvation. Paul doesn't say that here. In fact, by his very use of the term salvation, it lets us know this is a rescue. This is a gift. We are being saved, rescued by God into a new life with him. And so he's telling us we are simply to work out what God has already worked in. In other words, now that we're a part of the family of God and we belong to him and we have been saved freely by his grace and we are a part of his family, now we are to live out that salvation every day in a way that pleases him. And so when you think about it, here's what Paul says. Here's the command right in the middle of this little section. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the question may come to mind, what does that mean? What does it mean to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? And that's a great question. The work that he talks about in verse 12 is explained probably most fully and completely earlier in the sentence when he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed," the work is obedience. It's obedience. Now, that may sound a little bit cold. I mean, when you think about obedience, oftentimes it can be mechanical, but that's not what he's referring to here. It's more devotional than mechanical. It's not dispassionate. Compliance is rather heartfelt obedience and devotion to our God and our King. And you say, all right, well, what does that look like? I mean, if I am saved and I belong to the family of God and I am to work out the salvation that God has put into me, he's made me new, now I'm to live out that new life for him, what does that look like? And the answer is really simple. It looks like Jesus. Now, you think that's the answer to every single Christian question in the church, but it's really not. But in this case, it is the answer. Jesus is the answer. You want to know what obedience looks like, you look at Jesus. In fact, look back at the beginning of verse 12 and listen again to what he says. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed." Now, what does the therefore refer to? Two times in chapter 2, he uses the word therefore. In verse 9, where it refers to the humiliation or incarnation of Jesus. And then in verse 12, where it refers back to that exact same passage, verse 5 down through verse 8. This time, giving Jesus' incarnation, his time on this earth, as an example for our own obedience. Look down, if you will, in verse 5, and let's read this together. He says this, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And so there's your picture. There's the picture of our obedience. You want a picture of how we're to live as believers? Look at the life of Jesus and walk in his steps. Follow in his example. And if you want a couple of words to describe what his example looked like, it was humble obedience to the Father. In fact, in Jesus' own confession, he said, "I always do what pleases the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. Over and over again, he emphasizes that his heart was surrendered to that of the Father, and we're to live out that life as well. In fact, he goes on to tell us that the proper attitude for our obedience is fear and trembling, and that too is pictured in the humility of Jesus. Now, it's interesting when you start looking at this, there are two huge points that I think are very important for us to grasp here. One is this. It's a beautiful picture of human responsibility and divine sovereignty coming together. Because God works in us to bring salvation to us. It is a grace gift to us. We don't merit it in any way. There's no way that we could earn it or deserve it, but God looks at us and still gives us salvation because he loves us. And then once we belong to him, we're to roll up our sleeves as believers and follow in the footsteps of Jesus and live out a life of devotion to him. But here's the interesting thing. Look at verse 13. I love the way he puts this. He says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." In other words, it is God's work in us that provides the desire and strength to live in ways that please him. This is one of the reasons why I think it's so important for us to draw close to the Lord each and every day and spend more and more time with him in prayer. It's because as we spend time in prayer to God and we draw close to him, his word tells us if we draw close to him, he will draw close to us. And he gives us his heart so that it's our desire to live in ways that please him. He gives us his strength so we'll have the power to live this out every day, the energy to devote to living life in a way that fully pleases him in every way in our life. And we just can't miss that. In fact, let's just read this entire text again. Listen to what Paul says to believers. He's talking to Christians. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence." He almost sounds like a parent talking to his children, doesn't it? "As you've always obeyed, now, not only as in my presence, but also in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." What I'm telling you is the Christian life is like no other life. It's not that God just gave us a list of rules, do's and don'ts that we're to follow, and in doing so, we please him and honor him. When we come to know Christ, it is God's salvation in us. It's his rescue. He places his Holy Spirit in our hearts. He gives us a brand new life. That's why he tells us we're born again, born anew, born from above. And he gives us the strength through that Holy Spirit to live this life out so that in every test and circumstance of life, whether good or bad, whether calm or very stressful, in the midst of that, we're able to live out a life that fully pleases the Lord. In fact, when I was thinking through this and thinking through all that he says in these two verses, I just wrote this out. And so follow along with me on the screen. So here's kind of the summary. Because of the work Christ has accomplished for us, namely his life, death, and resurrection, and because of what God is working in us, and I would add here, through salvation, through being saved, in his continual work in us in salvation, we can, in other words, it's possible, and we must, it's necessary, to live to bring him pleasure. I mean, that's the aim of the Christian life, that we please and honor our great God and King. It's both possible because God is at work in us, and it is necessary because that's what we're made for and designed for, so that God is pleased and glorified with our life. And I pray that's what God has been working out in you, even in this odd season. I mean, it's really been stressful, I think, because it's been so strange. All the world changed and altered in so many parts of our world, whether it's our normal routines during the day or our finances or the physical threat of the virus and all the awkwardness that comes with it. You turn on the television, that's all you hear about. There's so much added stress to that. But in the midst of all of that, as believers, we just need to know, because of the salvation that we have in our hearts, because of the goodness and love of God, and because of the work of the Holy Spirit that's continuing to work in us, he will give us the desire to live a life that pleases him, and he'll give us the strength to do that. It is something that we can do, and it's something that we must do for the praise and glory of his name. That's the heartbeat of the life of a believer. I mean, maybe you're here today and you're listening and you're thinking, I mean, I've heard about Christianity all my life. I've seen it on television. I've heard it through Vacation Bible School or another activity when I was a child, but I really haven't understood what it means to come to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And through all of these experiences that we've been going through with COVID-19, you've been paying attention to more what God says in His Word. And God's Holy Spirit's been stirring in your own heart. And you say, you know, I really need a relationship with God. And here's the good news. Whoever puts their faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, for eternal life as a free gift and heaven as a home, God will indeed forgive. He will make them His own. And He will give them eternal life as a free gift. We can put our trust in Him. He will always keep His word. And so I just invite you today, right where you are, if God's been at work in your heart and you say, listen, what I need more than anything else in all the world is simply to know Him, to know that I belong to Him, to know that I'm a Christian, a follower of Christ, and I long in my heart to put my faith and trust in Him, then right where you are, I want to invite you to pray. And there's nothing magical about the words that we pray. Prayer is the avenue that God has given us to talk to Him. Really, where everything changes is in our heart. When we hear the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart, and we respond with faith. And today I invite you to put your faith and trust in God. And just tell Him what's happening in your life. And invite Him into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. And so right where you are, if you're in the living room or your office or wherever you are, you could be all by yourself or you could have dozens of people around you. If you just stop a minute, let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we do love You today. And we thank You for Your love for us. I thank You that You make it so clear in Your word that we don't work for our salvation. And maybe that's what's been happening in some of the lives that are listening today. We've just been trying to work and hope that somehow in something that we do, Lord, would gain God's favor. Or maybe we're just thinking that if I just do a whole lot more good than I've done bad, that at the end of the day, when God's keeping score, that my scorecard will read well enough so that I get into heaven. Lord, Your word tells us that'll never work, that our goodness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. The only way a holy God accepts us is because He wants to. And He's provided a way for us to be accepted and be a part of His family through His Son, Jesus. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid our sin debt in full. So Lord, as You're working in the hearts of people that are watching today, I pray for those that have been walking through this struggle and say, I have the greatest need in my heart. I want to know Christ as my Savior. And I just invite you right where you are, just be honest. Confess your faith to the Father. If you don't know what to pray, maybe just pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that You love me. You're a demonstration of God's love and that You came to this earth, lived a sinless life, and then died on the cross. I know today that You didn't die for Your own sin, You died for mine. And today I bow before You to confess that I am a sinner and my sin separates me from You. And I felt that separation all of my life. Today I turn from my sin and I confess it to You. And I ask You to forgive me of my sin. I ask You to come into my life and to be my Lord and Savior. I put my faith and my trust in You and in You alone for the forgiveness of my sin, for heaven as a home, and eternal life as a free gift. Thank You for saving me, not because I'm good, but because You're good and because You love me. Thank You that You now are in my life and that I belong to You. I'm Your child and I'll always be Your own. God, I just pray for those that just put their trust and faith in You. I pray that through the work of Your Holy Spirit in their heart, Lord, You would just give them that calm assurance that they've been born from above, that they belong to You, that they're in Your family. I pray that You would be at work in them every day through Your word and through Your Holy Spirit to calm their fears, to heal and comfort them in their hurts, to give them direction and peace in this life. I pray that You would remind them every day, because of Your great work in them, they can have the desire to please You and also the strength to do it. And God, I pray that That will be their aim every day. To walk like Jesus walked. To live this life every day to please and honor your great name. And I pray for those of us who've been believers for a long time. I pray that we'll never grow dull in our faith, or never let it fall into just a ritual or a routine. Our life is in Christ, and we belong to Him. And God, I pray today that you've reminded us in your word that we are yours forever. It's a gift of your grace that we belong to you. And because of the work of your Holy Spirit in us, we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And then every day you'll give us the strength and desire we need to live a life that's fully pleasing to you in every way. So have your way in us, be honored in us as we live out our faith, particularly in this day, and let others see Jesus in us. God, I pray today for those that just place their faith and trust in you. Lord, remind them every morning when they wake up and every night when they go to bed that they're safe in your arms. They belong to you. And they can never lose the relationship they have with you. They're yours forever. And God, I pray you'll be glorified in their life. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you for giving us your word that we can read this book and hear your voice. It is a priceless treasure. Now have your way as we respond to your call in our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Listen, if you're here today, you'll see on the screen a number with the word response. If you just trusted Christ for your salvation, I just want to encourage you to do something. Just text the word response to that number. And then just a very simple form, just fill it out and send it back in so that we can encourage you. Over 260 people filled out the Connect cards last week, and several filled out the response form. In fact, in just a minute after the service, we're going to have a baptism celebrating someone that came to know Christ last Sunday. I pray today that you'll let us know. We'd love to encourage you, love to help you in your walk with Christ. So just text response to that number and let God use our church to minister to you, whether you're in this state or one of the other 25 states that have been watching or 13 countries around the world. I pray God will encourage you with His love and His grace. So as we sing this last song, if you just fill that card out and send it in so that we can encourage you in your faith in Jesus. You do that right now.
On this thirsty desert ground, in a dry and barren land, I bow down, 'cause I'll need you now. You are calling, I will come.